Good afternoon. This is the Chamberlain Files podcast on the 16th of November. It's about 3 o'clock, so we're waiting for the final verification of the results of the West Midlands Police and Crime Commissioner election. We're keeping an eye on Twitter as we do it, but it does seem to be in the bag for Bob Jones. Obviously, we'll be getting into that in a minute. I'm joined, of course, by Kevin Johnson and Paul Dale. Paul's been down at the count, and I'm Mark Reeves, keeping an eye on it from RJF and Chamberlain Files Towers via the power of Twitter. Paul, were the crowds out in force down at the count?
Hardly. There were quite a reasonable media contingent there, but unfortunately the public interest in the police commissioner elections has been appallingly low. Only 12.3% of people in the West Midlands who are registered to vote actually bothered to do so. And when you take into account that only about 80% of people who could vote are actually on the register, then you can see that the actual turnout is even less than 12%
of those who could. Okay, what do we know right now in terms of the numbers and how it's going to pan out for the candidates in the West Midlands?
Okay, what we know is that Wolverhampton Labour councillor Bob Jones, a long-serving member of the police authority, is in the lead after the counting of first preference votes. He managed to secure 42% of all the votes cast, not quite enough for the 50% plus one that would have enabled him to win on the first count. Therefore, second preference votes have to be taken into account. However, under the rules of the game, the leading two candidates go forward to the second preference stage. So that's Councillor Jones and the Conservative candidate Matt Bennett, a former Birmingham City Councillor who managed to get 18% of the total votes cast. So Councillor Jones 42%, Mr Bennett 18%. It's fairly obvious that Bob Jones is going to win this contest.
As predicted, but of course the other story playing out across the whole of the national media that has been pretty much uninterested in this until the last 2 days or maybe a week or so. The other main story is the rise of independents alongside that the theme of a low turnout. And that seems to have been the case here. And, you know, I don't think we saw coming the success of the likes of Kath Hannan.
Yeah, I can tell you that there were three independent candidates in the West Midlands. Kath Hannan, as you said, is a former police officer. Mike Rumble, again a former police officer, and Bishop Derek Webley from Birmingham. And between them, the three managed to poll 25.7% of the total votes cast, so a quarter of the total votes cast went to independent candidates. And as I said, the strange thing is that under the rules of the way these contests are decided, only the top two candidates go forward. But if you had used a different form of proportional representation and taken off the bottom candidate first and then redistributed second preference votes, you may well have ended up with a different winner. And it is possible that Kath Hannan could have won.
Well, I was going to say that we have, Mark, reached new depths in this podcast as we analyse not only one of the most unpopular policies ever, but also the very different forms of proportional representation that might give you different results. I mean, the nerds only are left with us right at this moment.
Yeah, really are.
But, yeah, I mean, I think you also have to be careful about the rise of independence. This is not, you know, David Steele and go back and prepare for government stuff. I think we're in peculiar circumstances. The policy has not anywhere near hit home. It's been terribly, terribly promoted by the government or not promoted by the government, no matter what you think of the policy itself. We're at a very odd stage of the parliament. We're in a coalition government, so the Lib Dems have got pasted. We'll come on to that, I'm sure. And also, don't read anything into it. The next round of PCC elections, I think I'm right in saying, will be alongside some local government elections. The time after that, assuming they're still in place, will be alongside a general election as well. So the issues about turnout, the issues about independent rise, I think have to be couched in those terms. But I think there probably is also a number of electors, those bothered who bothered to turn out, who think, I don't want a party politician, I want the right person for the job, and I want somebody who maybe knows something about police and crime and justice taking charge of all of this. I'm sure that is in there somewhere, but let's not get too carried away.
Yeah, but two or three forces, I think last time I looked, actually do have independent police commissioners now.
Yes.
So it's going to be interesting.
As did the West Midlands, of course. As in, they had an independent chair of the police authority, who, of course, was now one of the three candidates that Paul just talked about. So
yes,
there is a history of independence. Okay, it was a 9-person authority as opposed to one commissioner, but there is a history of independence already there.
Yeah, but in a directly elected environment, it looks like three police authorities will be led. There will be three independents. And, of course, in Bristol, the only mayoral election to really get through the hurdle of May has been won by an independent candidate there.
I'll take Kevin's point, but we obviously mustn't lose sight of the bottom line here is that there was only a 12.3% turnout. So there's a limit to what you can read in to what's happened. But nevertheless, there does appear to have been a bit of a kickback against the traditional political parties. In Birmingham, for example, the Labour share of the votes was down by 10% compared with the 2010 general election. And that is clearly explained by the rise of the independents, since the Liberal Democrat vote also collapsed.
Yeah, and it also collapsed in Solihull. The numbers there were extraordinary.
Yes, in Solihull, the Liberal Democrat share of the vote was today was 3.4%, and at the 2010 general election, it was 43%. Quite extraordinary reversal.
If you're Morally Burt right now,
I'll be looking for a new career advice, I should think. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here next year.
Or stopping to campaign against the House of Lords.
And of course, today is the day after the election that didn't happen. And it would have been a very, very different landscape. I think there are a few people rueing May the 4th, aren't they?
Yeah, I think it would be different in many, many ways. Because, again, whatever you think of the mayoral policy, I think you would have had candidates in the likes of Sean, if it was Sean who got through the Labour nomination process, and others who would have no doubt come forward, God forbid Lord Birmingham himself and others. You'd have had a far more colourful election, I think, as well as people understanding broadly what a mayor was for, as opposed to why have a separate police commissioner. And therefore there may have been a knock-on effect to the turnout for the police commissioner as well as for the mayoral election. So I think it would have been different. I mean, we wouldn't have necessarily been at 45%, but we might have been at 25-30% rather than the kind of 45% or normal local elections or 75%.
The turnout in Bristol for the mayoral election there was 28%, which is the turnout, the same turnout in Birmingham for this year's local government elections. So I imagine if we had a mayoral election yesterday, the turnout might well have got into the 30%.
And Paul and I sat together watching a hustings event of the commissioner candidates. I'm sure they're all very fine people and lovely, very nice to their mothers. But none of them really fired and crackled. Now, maybe Kath Hannan did as the campaign went on and we didn't see that, or maybe she was very effective on social media. But I think even with the candidates we knew of and those that are likely to emerge in the mayoral election, you'd have had more colourful candidates. As I saw somebody tweet about Nigel Farage on Question Time last night, you know, whatever you think of him, he kind of crackles with energy. And this PCC election certainly lacked that in candidates as well as the policy itself.
Well, I spoke to Bob Jones about an hour ago, asking him for some comments, and he's basically saying, "Well, I didn't really want to be a police commissioner because I don't believe in them. I don't think we should be having police commissioners. We were fine with the police authority, but the government's decided we're going to have police commissioners. I'm now going to be the police commissioner, and I'll do my best."
Right, where do I pick up my £100,000?
Ah, precisely, yes.
Let's therefore take off our cephalological anoraks and
easy for you to say.
Get away from the numbers. We've had the election. Bob Jones is the PCC. What the hell is he going to do? Because he, like it seems every other PCC candidate, said, "I'm going to stop the cuts, I'm going to fight the cuts, and I'm going to make sure that the police fight crime." I mean, what are we going to see over the next few months any different to what we've seen already?
Well, possibly we're not going to see anything that's any different. The most interesting aspect here, as in every police force in the country, will be the relationship between the police commissioner and the chief constable, because there is certainly lots of room there for differences of opinion and there will be huge arguments, I am sure, over what are operational decisions, which are in the hands of the Chief Constable, and what are the other decisions that can be made by the Police Commissioner. It's interesting to note that Bob Jones has said the first thing he's going to do this evening, after he's sworn in, is he's going to go along and see Chris Sims, and I think the Chief Constable and the two are going to pose for pictures outside Lloyd House. So you would think that there's quite a warm relationship there.
There's going to be some posing, is the answer to your question.
Well, we'll be keeping an eye on it. Chamberlain Files, I'm sure, Paul, you'll be following Bob's progress with interest.
I think to be slightly more positive about it, one shouldn't be too cynical, particularly as we all, to some degree, make our careers out of politics. I think good PCCs will, and I don't just mean this in a sort of negative, bash the government way, good PCCs will be a better conduit between the populace, the police and the politicians. They will give voice. That is their first line of duty, is to give voice to the public interest and to what the public require out of police and the criminal enforcement system, as it were. Good PCs will be able to articulate that. And even with, I know there's all kinds of questions today about mandates and the power of mandates, but they will have a, as you described earlier, a directly democratic mandate for speaking up on behalf of the public. And I think the clever ones won't just be doing it in a kind of old-fashioned union way of bashing the government. The clever ones will find a route between public, police and politicians that will be, if only subtly, different to what's gone before.
And finally, I think it's worth noting that however abysmal the turnout has been today, it is infinitely higher than the turnout ever was for electing police authorities, because police authorities were not elected.
No. Paul Dale, Kevin Johnson, thank you very much.